Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Okay,
sure. Well, it's good to be here, and we're from Tennessee. So if I say something that you don't understand, well, we'll figure it out later, okay? my wife and children are right back here, my wife Rachel and my daughter Anley and my son Trilin. I don't even know where he's at. So, oh, thank you, brother. Thank you. Does anybody know where he's at? Oh, he's over there. Okay. Good, good. I like to keep an eye on my family, especially them boys, I'm telling you. Thank you for the water. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Well, we've had a great time the past few days, and coming all the way from Tennessee. It's a long way up here, y'all. How many of y'all have not ever been to Tennessee before? Anybody? A few? Oh, you should come visit. Tennessee's a beautiful place, and the leaves are not near as beautiful as they are up here. Man, y'all got, it's so beautiful up here, the leaves and everything. Normally when we're in New York is when all the leaves are gone, everything's dead. You know what I'm saying? But go to Matthew chapter number 26, and once again, we just want to say thank you, church, for having us in, and it sure is a blessing. To see a church want to know more about music and continue in the music program. And we're going to talk a little bit about it this morning and even tonight. But for right now, we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 26. I'm going to get everything set up here. And but sure is good to see everybody. And I noticed you have an orchestra over here. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Got a nice piano. Y'all are blessed.
Amen.
You know, some people are blessed and don't even know it. How many of y'all are blessed?
Amen.
Every person in here is blessed. And we should be thankful. Over and over and over and over and over, God just keeps on a blessing. And we take it for granted every day. We don't even think about it. We just... It's just, it's almost an entitlement society that we live in.
Yeah.
Is that the blessings just keep coming. And whenever ever they do turn off, boy, don't we get mad?
Yeah.
Come on.
Don't we get upset because we're in that microwave society that we live in?
Yeah.
Things don't go our way. Man, we are spoiled rotten. That's what we say in Tennessee. Y'all say that up here? Look at Matthew chapter 26. Why don't you stand one more time for me? Matthew chapter 26. I'm not going to keep you up long. I do have a lot of scripture to read, but I'm only going to start out right here. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. In that one verse, he summed it up of all the events that's fixing to take place in this chapter. He said, after 2 days in the Feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed and to be crucified. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now that you'd help me. Lord, I can't do it without you. And Lord, I pray as your vessel right now that, Lord, that the words that I say would be clear, and your word would be glorified. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we appreciate your blessings. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. I told you I wouldn't keep you up long. Okay. So y'all get comfortable now. Don't fall asleep on me. Look, if you get tired, I tell them this in music school, y'all can just stand up. It won't hurt my feelings. Okay. Just stand up if you start getting tired and start dozing, all right? I'll try my best to keep you awake here. But in Matthew 26, there's a lot going on here. How many of y'all have read Matthew 26 before? There's a lot going on, not just events, but also Jesus Christ is going through a lot right now in this passage. Okay? And so we're going to keep reading here. Let's keep going. In verse number 3, it says, then assembled together the chief priest and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who is called Caiaphas. and counseled that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. We don't need to get him today, because the people might get upset. Y'all see what I'm saying there? But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of the to him a woman, having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head, as he I'm in verse number 8.
Okay.
It says, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. Man, is this thing too loud?
No.
Can y'all hear me okay? It says, but when his disciples saw that they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Man, that strikes me strange. We're talking about a woman that comes in there and she's trying to anoint the body of Jesus Christ here because he's fixing to be crucified and buried and all that stuff. And she brings this precious ointment in and does that as they're sitting down to meet. And the disciples, it says, but when his disciples, that's all 12 of them, saw this, they had indignation. Now, what is indignation? So, you know, I had to look up the word. It means anger or extreme anger mingled with contempt, disgust, or abhorrence. That's pretty rough.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty rough. They was looking at this woman and they were going, what are you doing? Well, let's keep reading what they said here. It says, for this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. They just don't get it, do they?
That's right.
But what would you have done in that situation? You know, we can look back now, right? We read the scripture. We know what's coming. But if you were in that situation, okay, where would you be? Would you be thinking the same thing? I'm just asking a question.
Come on.
It says, when Jesus understood it. Now, that kind of sets me back too. Just be patient with me. We got to get through all these scriptures here. But it says, when Jesus understood it, he was like, fellas? Really? He said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? He said, for she hath wrought a good work upon me, for ye have the poor always with you, but ye have me. Or he says, but me ye have not always. He says, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, whosoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. And all these years later, we're talking about it still. Because that what this woman did here to our Lord and all 12 disciples are like, what are you doing? And have anger over that. Indignation. So, have you any? I'm asking you a question here. I just want you to think, okay? Have you any indignation towards, say, somebody in this church that may be trying to do something for God and you're looking at them and you're going, why is he doing that? Why is she doing that? Do you have that built up in your heart? Sometimes we need to ask ourselves these questions because, you know, I see some people busy in the church, right? They're doing everything that they possibly can for the Lord, trying to get things done in the church. And there might be somebody sitting back there on the pew going, why are they doing that? I surely hope not, but never know. You never know. But I want to get through these verses here. In verse number 14, it says, then Judas. Okay. Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went into the chief priest. Now, I can almost imagine here, you know, the 12 see all this going on with this lady and the oil there, and they had indignation in their hearts and whatnot. And then Judas, maybe this put him over the edge. I just don't know. Okay, I'm just kind of reading into it here a little bit. But it says, one of the 12, Judas Iscariot, went into the chief priest. Y'all know what he's fixing to do here, right?
Yeah.
It says, and said unto them, what will ye give me? See, these kind of people, they're always wanting something. It says, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Boy, that's pretty cheap. That's not that much. And it says, and from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, verse 17. This is where they're preparing for the Passover. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou prepare for thee to eat the Passover? He's asking a question there. And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, I'm going to skip a few verses here, and I want to go down a little bit to verse number 31. Go to verse 31. Verse 31, now we're going to go back to verse number 20 in just in a minute, but verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, now Peter, yeah, he's a character. I don't know if you've ever studied Peter, but man, that guy, he's just always into something. It says, Peter answered and said to him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, O Peter, he says, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Jesus already knew what was going to happen. Peter said, no, I'll be with you. I'll be with you all the way through. He says, in verse 35, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. In verse number 36, now of course we know what happens, right? We know that what Peter does, and it explains it in this chapter. Just bear with me now. It says in verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and said, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here, while I go pray yonder. And he took with them Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. We're talking about Jesus here. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Can I ask y'all a question? Has anybody in here ever been exceeding sorrowful, overwhelmed? Has life thrown things at you that you were not expecting? Whether it's health, or whether it's just a dark time in your life, or maybe, you know, there's death in the family. I just heard something over there just a minute ago. It's amazing, right, how life works. In one sentence, the pastor there that was praying for a lost one and one to be born. Did y'all hear that? Babies to be born and death. Cycle of life. It just keeps on going and going and going. And eventually, one day, your time is coming. But here we see that Jesus is exceeding sorrowful. I would say that there's probably a sense of overwhelmness here because of everything going on. I mean, his 12 is a mess. The disciples, they're a mess. They're not getting it. They're not getting what he's telling them. He's told them over and over the things that's going to happen. And they're just like, come on, guys. A young lady comes in, tries to anoint his body, and they have all this anger over that. You're fixing to see what happens here in this passage here that where Jesus goes off and prays in the garden there, and the guys are falling asleep. So let's keep reading here. And he took with him verse 37, and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face. Now, Hollywood doesn't depict that, by the way. He went on his face. Are y'all with me? It says, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto them, the disciples, finding them asleep. Hey, wake up! They're asleep again. And saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Come on, man. Come on, Pete. Wake up. And it says there, and let's see here, in verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen to that. Amen. Now let me keep going. In verse 42, he went away the second time and prayed, oh my Father. Now you got a picture here. This ain't just some little, oh my Father. No. He's in agony here. Very sorrowful. Oh, my Father, I'd act it out for you, but it might be too loud for you. If this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. In verse 43, it says, and it came and found them, and he came and found them again, and found them asleep again, for their eyes were very heavy. Men, look at me. Don't let your eyes get very heavy. Don't fall asleep. There's too much at stake here. Are y'all hearing me, gentlemen? Ladies, don't fall asleep. There's too much at stake here. At this church right here. Don't fall asleep on the music program. Don't fall asleep on the King James Bible. Don't fall asleep on those hymns that you have in that book. Don't fall asleep on one another. How about the children? While you're sleeping, the devil's at work. You better wake up, church. You better wake up. I'm telling you, because there's something going on, and you better wake up. While you sleep, the devil's still working. He still knows exactly what to do. Judas is still betraying. He's selling the Lord. There's people still selling out the Lord, by the way. Now you better wake up. This world's only going to get worse. Y'all better stick together as a church. Wake up, Daddy. Your children are leaving. Every church we go in, we go into all kinds of different churches throughout America. And we were actually just talking about this the other night, how that you go into some churches and the people are there, and you go back, say, the next year or the next year or the next year, and you're like, where's so-and-so? Oh, they got out. Where's so-and-so? Oh, they got out. Well, where's so-and-so? They were just, well, I remember them when they were this big. Oh, they got out. Teenagers, are y'all listening? Don't fall asleep. Satan's going to get you. And before you know it, before you turn around, you're going to be asleep and you're going to be away from this place right here. And you're going to be doing your own thing somewhere else. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to say, well, where's so-and-so? Don't fall asleep. We don't have time for heavy eyes. We don't have time, just like Brother was preaching this morning or teaching in Sunday school. There's a lost and dying world out there. We don't have time to sleep. Now, I understand physical, right? I understand. I'm talking about spiritual here, okay? We don't have time to just let up. We got to keep plowing. We can't look back. We got to keep plowing. Well, I messed up here. Well, keep going forward. Amen. Keep plowing. Yeah. Put your head forward and your eyes forward and let's keep it going. Amen. Now, Look at verse 46. I'm going to skip a little bit of this here. No. Look at 45. We've got to read 45. It says, "Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." He says, "You just go ahead and sleep. Here's what's going on. Fellas, y'all just going to go ahead and sleep." And it says in verse 46, he says, "Rise. Men, we need to rise up." We need to rise up. It's time to go. The Lord says, "Hey, it's time to go. We ain't got time to sit around and sleep with heavy eyes. Gentlemen, let's go. Let's go. I'm serious. We've got to move. We ain't got time to be drowsy. Our music programs are suffering." Now, of course, I'm going to talk about music this morning. But music is suffering in the church. You say, "Well, not at this church." Who's going to pick up the torch? Who's going to come to music school when Brother Andrew organizes a music school and has Brother Cody come in and teach? Who's going to show up for the music school? "Oh, well, I've got other stuff to do." Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep, church. You say, "Well, I don't sing well." Sing anyway. Because we're fixing to read something here in just a minute. The Lord wants to hear you sing. Okay? Let's keep going. Now, is anybody mad yet? Look at me. Are you mad yet? I would say Jesus is overwhelmed here. Wouldn't you say? I know I would be. I know I would be overwhelmed with the circumstances and the events going on. It just seems like nobody cares about what's going on. Let's look at verse 47. "And while he spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords, staves, and the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he had betrayed him, gave them a sign, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him." That was him. That was Judas. "And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him." So here we see what happens. Judas betrayed him. He sells him. He brings all these guards and whatever to pick up Jesus. They're going to take him now and to be accused. And if you let's look there in verse 51. "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant, the high priest." Of course, we know he cut off his ear there. Jesus says, he says, "Put your sword up, man. We don't need to do that right now." He says, "Don't you know that?" He basically tells him, we got to fulfill his prophecy here. He says in verse 53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? All I got to say is the word, and all the angels going to come take care of this thing." He says, "But when then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" So here we see that Jesus is being accused. He's going to get accused here. And let's keep on going down. Just for time's sake, I'm going to skip just a little bit. Go down to verse 66. Verse number 66. Verse 66. It says, "What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Now you can read those other verses right before this if you want to later. But here we see they accuse him of death for doing nothing wrong. It says in verse 67, now I want you to stay with me here. If you're getting tired, stand up. Okay, stay with me. In verse 67 it says, "Then did they spit on him in his face. They buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands." Now I want you to picture that. Your Savior here. They spit in his face. Men, what would you do if somebody spit in your face? It'd make you pretty mad, wouldn't it? They're doing this to your Savior. Not only that, but they hit him. They took the palms of his hand, their hands right here, and they'd hit him over and over. Just hit him. Just hit him right in the face because they hated him. They hated him. That's your Savior. They hit over and over. They just kept on hitting. Just kept on hitting him. They spit in his face. We don't read that and we don't realize exactly what happened there.
That's right.
But this is the Son of God.
Right.
They're spitting their saliva in his face. Right. And they're taking the palms of their hands and hitting him just like that. Now if I come down there and I hit you in the face, it's going to hurt. Right?
Yeah.
That hurt him.
Right.
For doing nothing. But good. Now, I just wanted you to get a picture there in verse number 68, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? He said, those guys that were hitting him right in the face, they were saying, who hit you, king? You prophesy all these different things. Who's hitting you? There's a lot going on here.
Right.
And the Lord's overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But He's doing it for you.
Come on.
Let's keep going here. Y'all with me?
Amen.
Okay, look at verse 69. Verse 69. It says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. And we know what happens here. We know what happens. Peter's he's kind of in the background. He's kind of wondering what's going on with Jesus, right? He's in the distance. He's looking off and he sees him hitting him. He sees him hitting him. Now, let me ask you, is it okay if I come down here? What would you have done if you were Peter? If you're in the background and right over there you see Jesus getting hit and getting spit on, who knows what else they were doing to him? But I do know they were hitting him. I do know they were spitting at him in his face. What would you have done if you were Peter? And some young little lady like this lady right here comes up and says, aren't you one of his?
Come on.
Are you one of his?
Come on.
Are you one of his? Are you? What would you have said? I don't know what you're talking about. I just don't know. And then a little bit later on, he's still watching as they're beating, as they're spitting. And he's standing over there and another one comes up and says, you're one of his. No. You know, eventually he starts cussing. He starts saying some bad words. Just get away from me. I don't know what you're talking about. What would you have said? Or would you be afraid that they was fixing to crucify you too?
Come on. Come on.
Because when it gets down to it, folks, death is real.
Right.
And when somebody starts threatening your life, how far are you willing to go?
Yeah.
The Savior said, no, don't cut his ear off. Don't do all that stuff. No, this has to be fulfilled because I'm seeing in the future. Y'all are just right here, right now. I'm seeing those people at Emmanuel Baptist Church right here. I'm seeing those people. They need me. They need me to keep on going. They need me to go to the cross. They need me to raise on the third day. Are y'all with me? The world needs me. So I could call down all these angels to rescue me, but you know what? No, I'm gonna keep taking that beating. I'm going to keep taking that spit hitting me in the face. And he took all that for you. So what would you do in that situation? It's kind of hard to think about. what exactly we would do in that situation. But Peter did deny him three times. And on the third time, what happened? Could you imagine what Peter felt like when he heard that cock crow? Jesus told him that was going to happen. All right. So we talk about Jesus being overwhelmed, and he was, and we get overwhelmed in life. But I'm telling you, even some of the students we had this in the past few days, I could tell some people were overwhelmed in music. I was teaching some of these things, and I'd look around. I always like watching people, you know, and I could tell some of the information I was given was just overwhelming. But Jesus was really, man, he took a lot right here. He took a lot. So let's keep going here. We talk about being overwhelmed in life, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, emotionally. Life in general can be overwhelming. I mean, you live very long, and there's things going to happen. There's things going to come upon you. But how much more overwhelming the fact that Jesus was about to take on the sin of all mankind. He took it all. He took it all, not just a little bit. Okay? But all of y'all sitting in here, I don't know how many people's in here. They say, what, 200 people, 150, whatever. He took all y'all's sin on Him. I mean, right, it's fixing to happen here. He's taking it on. All of your sin. Everybody's. You're talking about overwhelming. That would be overwhelming. I couldn't handle it. Nor could you. I can't even handle my own sin. Nor can you. So, I always say right here, when the Prince of Peace had no peace. When the Prince of Peace had no peace. Right here. Let's go back to verse number 20 now. Go back to verse number 20. Verse number 20. Same chapter, chapter number 26, Matthew. Everybody take a deep breath. Let it out. Okay? It's good to breathe every now and again. Some of y'all are turning purple. I'm just kidding. Look at verse number 20. Now when the eve was come, he sat down with the 12. How many? 12. So there's 12 disciples and there's Jesus. Okay, so I'm backing up just a shade. It says, and as they did eat, that's all of them. Okay, all the 12 and Jesus. He said, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful. There's that again, exceeding sorrowful. And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Is it I? He already knew who he was. Judas knew he was it. He already had something going on. He'd already betrayed him. He'd already sold him, pretty much. And he said, in verse 23, it says, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Woo-wee. That's pretty rough. Yeah. Jesus saying, it'd be better for you not even be born, man. Yeah. Yeah. Whew. That's pretty rough. Verse 25 says, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? I don't get that. I do not understand that part right there. Judas said, is it I? He'd already done it. He said unto him, thou hast said. Now the other 11 was probably like, what is going on at this point? I don't know. Verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth forth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, verse 30 is where I want to look at here for just a minute. It says, and when they, who's they? We just talked about they, right? It's the 12, including Judas. Are y'all with me? In verse number 30, it says, and when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So I read all of that and said all of that for this. They, at this time, all of them, sung a hymn, even Judas. Now, in the middle of everything going on, of all the overwhelmingness that the Lord had on him, right in the middle of it, they sung a hymn. Did you know, in your darkest time of life, whether it's good or whether it's bad, you could sing a hymn and it'll do something to you that nothing else can do.
Right.
How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that you could turn on maybe a song or a CD or something? Anybody still got CDs?
Yeah.
Or something, and it will lift your spirits up. Because a good song will do that. A bad song will make you go the other way. Okay? If you got a bad song going on, it may give you road rage. That's why all these people have road rage out here. Listen, we travel all over the country. We know. You can tell when somebody's listening to something crazy. They're going 100 miles an hour and they don't care about you. But a good hymn will help you. Can you imagine? Okay, I want you to imagine with me here. In your brain, I want you to think with me. Think with me. What is going on? And it's a lot's not said here, but I like to imagine. Okay, anybody have imagination?
Yeah.
And when they had sung a hymn, what did this do for our Lord? To hear His 12 sing. Now you got to think with me. Think with me. Okay. You got Peter in the mix. Peter probably couldn't sing a lick. You got Judas, the one that betrayed him, singing a hymn. They all were singing, by the way. But not only that, but I got to thinking about all these 12, man, they had, what was they doing before they met the Lord? They fishing, tax collector, all these different things. They had their normal businesses, their normal job. They were just common people like you. And then they started following Christ. They had a new song.
Amen.
And they started singing. And you know what? It pleased the Lord. They all sang here. And when they had sung a hymn. Can I ask you a question? Are you saved?
Amen.
Do you follow Christ?
Amen.
I said, are you saved?
Amen.
Over here. Do you follow Christ?
Amen.
Then sing a hymn.
He
wants to hear you sing. You say, well, I can't sing. If I had a dime every time somebody told me that they couldn't carry a tune in the bucket, I'd be a rich man. He wants to hear you sing.
Right.
Now, okay, granted, these guys had a heritage, okay, of music. King David, right? It was passed down from generation to generation. I don't know. They may have been trained in music. I just don't know. Okay? But I do know they were common men. How many of y'all common men we got in here? Men and ladies that go to work every day. You get up every morning. You go to work. You support your family. And you go to church on Sunday. You go to church on Wednesday night. And you do that routine over and over and over. Hey, you can still sing. You can still sing in an overwhelming time in your life.
Right.
You can sing in good times. You can sing in bad times. It doesn't matter. Just sing.
Amen.
You say, well, okay, well, learn to better sing.
Amen.
Come to music school.
Amen.
Go to Brother Andrew and say, Brother Andrew, I need some help.
Yeah.
I need help me here in the area of music. Because you know what we're doing? We're dropping the ball when it comes to music in churches. I see it all over the country. You say, because they're dropping the hymns and they're taking this hymn book and they're putting it in a closet somewhere and they put the words up on the wall and it just goes down here from there.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, what are you going to do about it? You say, well, this church right here, you know, we're going to stay with the hymns. We're not going to change up. We're not going to the crazy worldly stuff and all that stuff, whatever. No, we're not going to do that. Okay, are you sure about that?
Come on.
Are you sure that it's not going to take over this church? What's going to happen when this brother's gone? Or Brother Caleb is gone? Or Brother Andrew is gone? I'm talking about passed away, right? Some of you older generation, y'all are going to be gone one day. You young people, what are you going to do? You going to carry the torch? Are you going to say, you know what? No, we don't need those old hymns. We don't need them. Because that's what happens in some churches. And then nobody's reading music anymore. Nobody's singing the hymns anymore. You see how fast, just one generation, it's all it takes is to turn that thing over and people fall asleep. But Jesus says, arise.
Amen.
It's time to take on. Let's go.
Right.
Let's conquer this thing.
Yeah.
Let's keep the hymn book in the church. Let's keep the orchestra going. Hey, let's grow it.
Yeah.
Let's build onto this platform a little bit more so we can add some more here.
Right.
But we can't do that without an effort.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Y'all got to wake up, church. We got to wake up. Now, I don't want to keep y'all after lunch because some of y'all's belly alarm's already going off. Now, of course, I've already said this, but not much is said about this passage right here, what's going on. I've done some research on it. Some people say it's Psalms like 116 through 118 that they could be singing here. I just don't know. I read that and I thought, well, let's go over and read Psalms 118. I'm not going to go over there. But the very first thing that Psalms 118 says, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever."
Yeah.
That might have been what they sang.
Yeah.
I just don't know. And it says it again at the end of that chapter. But a hymn can help you. This was Jesus' congregation at the time, the 12. Okay, that was His congregation. And He wants His congregation to sing.
Amen. Right.
I can't say it enough. But let's keep going here. If you'll look over, go to Psalms chapter 40. Psalms chapter 40. Remember, I told you if you get sleepy on me, you can stand up.
Amen.
All right, Psalms chapter number 40. Psalms chapter 40. I'm almost done. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 1. It says, "I waited patiently." How many of y'all are patient? How many of you are not patient? You got a short fuse. Okay, I know a lot of people like that. "I waited patiently for the Lord." You know, sometimes, I'm going to keep reading this, but you know, sometimes the Lord doesn't answer what we want on our time. You got to be patient because the Lord knows exactly when, where, and what you need at a certain time. You just need to be patient. Even you unpatient people, okay? You got to be patient. It says, "And I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." How many of y'all, He did that to?
Amen.
He did that to me. And it says in verse 3, "And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Just by a song. Are y'all hearing me? And we can prove that. Look at Acts 16. Look at Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. Go there with me now. Acts chapter 16. Who's the main characters of Acts chapter 16? You may know. Paul and Silas. Y'all remember those guys? Okay, let's look at it. Look at verse 23. "And When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks. Now, they didn't just put them in prison. They put them in the inner prison. That's in a bad way. That's a bad place. It says in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They didn't just pray, but they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know, when you get to singing, people hear you. You hear me? When you get to singing, people hear you. Now, it says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. Look, the building didn't just fall, their bands come off too. It says, and the keeper of the prisoner waking out of his sleep. Yeah, I would have too. Some of y'all need to wake out of sleep. Maybe the walls need to shake or something. It says, and seeing the prison doors open, and drew out his sword, he would have killed himself. Now, he wasn't going to kill the prisoners. He was going to kill himself. He didn't know what was going on. I mean, this guy's startled. He said, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe. So here we see Psalms chapter 40 playing out. Psalm chapter 40 says, sing a new song. Paul and Silas, they had it. They sang it. The walls coming tumbling down. The chains fell off. And what happened? Somebody gets saved.
Amen. Right.
Just because they sang and prayed.
Amen.
Are y'all hearing me? What could happen at this church if everybody would get involved on the singing? Are y'all with me? What happened here? We see that the jailer, he saw, he feared, and he believed. He trusted. That's what Psalms 40 just talked about. Now, you never know who you're going to be affecting with your song. You never know. For generations, just like King David, music is powerful, y'all.
Amen.
It is very powerful in how it can affect from one generation to the next. We're going to look at it tonight, but if you study that thing out, we're going to study it tonight in 1 Chronicles of what happens when you have good music. So, let me ask you this. How is your song affecting Jesus? How is it affecting the Lord? You say, well, I don't sing that much. You need to get to singing. You need to learn how to sing. You need to grab that hymn book and just start singing. You say, well, I can't sing. Sing anyway. Sing anyway. So, do you just do that on Sunday? Go to Psalms 96. I told you I was about done. Psalms chapter 96. Psalms chapter 96. Thank y'all for being patient. Like we just read about. Psalm chapter 96. Look what it says here in Psalms chapter 96. It says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. All the earth? All. You know, it's fascinating. In your King James Bible, all means all.
Right.
It don't mean some. It means all. It says in verse number 2, it says, sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from what? Day to day.
Amen.
That's every day.
That's right.
How are you showing it? Singing.
Right.
You can show forth the Lord's salvation just by singing. These hymns that you have are so rich in the words. Okay? They're so rich. Now, we have a great God. And He is worthy to be praised. So church, if I could give you anything, they sung a hymn. This church right here, keep singing the hymns. Why? Because God likes them. You know how I know Jesus likes hymns? Because He sang one. He didn't sing all this new stuff. He didn't sing a country song. He could have sang a rap song. But He chose to sing a hymn. Don't you like what God likes?
Amen.
I sure do. I sure do. You can close your Bible. Now listen to me. Jesus Christ died for you. He got beat and spit in the face. All He wants to do is hear you sing. He did all that for you. We didn't even read the crucifixion part. But later on, if you keep on reading, you see where He bears that cross. He carries it up Golgotha, and they nail Him to it. The brother was talking about it this morning, how they run those nails through His hands and through His feet. And He did that all for you. Don't you forget that. The least you can do is sing. Amen, brother. Come ahead.